Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Wieder live von ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat, ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu ihrem Toyota-Partner.
And then I went to a national championship. And on the last day I saw the champion getting a big rolling trophy. It was beautiful. I was sitting in the last row and I decided to win the rolling trophy the next year. I actually played and won the under-9 national championship. But unfortunately, I didn't get the rolling trophy. The same year, they stopped giving the trophies and I got a small shield, which I was very unhappy with. So I decided that I would win a world championship trophy and that will be more beautiful. And that's how my chess journey started.
Hey everyone, and welcome to our October edition of our FIDE podcast of the Year Women in Chess. In this podcast, we introduce you to some amazing and inspiring women in the world of chess, including players, authors, coaches, journalists, and chess streamers. The podcast is a collaboration of the Chess Sports Association, the FIDE Women's Commission, and the German podcast Schachgeflüster. Today's guest is someone very special. She carries the Grandmaster title and has a current rating of 2,507, placing her number 13th in the Women's World Ranking list. She has won 3 bronze medals at the Women's World Chess Championships. Her most recent achievement was winning the bronze medal with the Indian women's team at the Olympiad in their home country. As if not impressive enough on its own, our guest played the Olympiad in her 9th month of pregnancy and gave birth to a baby girl just 2 weeks after. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome today's guest, Grandmaster Harika Dronavalli, in today's podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get started straight away. And what has become a bit of a tradition, because our guests come from all over the world, we always ask our guests to start off by telling us where they're from and tell us a little bit about their home country and what the chess culture is like there.
So, yeah, I'm from India. When I started chess, the chess culture was not as much as now for sure. But we had many world youth titles by then. And of course, Vishwanathan Anand was the main player from India. Everyone knew him. And that's how it used to be before when I started. And now you can see that the chess culture is much bigger and much better right now. But I think overall chess has started in India. So we always had some kind of chess culture, be it in a small way or big way. But right now, I think this is one of the best time for chess happening in India.
Okay, that sounds, it's like a very historic chess country. So tell us, how did you start playing chess? Are you from like a chess family where everyone played, or is this something you started through like a after school program?
So for me, it started because my parents introduced chess to my sister. They wanted her to learn patience and to be calm for a while, to sit at one place and concentrate on something. But then I started getting interest on chess, especially because I wanted to know why my sister has been introduced and why not me. So I got interested in chess just to prove that I can also do well like my sister, to be honest. And I started doing extremely well in the beginning days, initial days, without even... we didn't have any goals. It just happened very organically. So that's where it all started from. And then I went to a national championship. It was just for participation or experience, let's say. And then when I played extremely well. I got 15th place at the end. But in the beginning, I made 5 out of 5. And I was even leading the tournament at some point. And that's where it felt like I have some special talent in chess. And on the last day, I saw the champion getting a big rolling trophy. It was beautiful. I was sitting in the last row, and I've seen that. It impressed me so much that I wanted to win that a trophy. And that's where it all started for me on a serious note. And I decided to win the rolling trophy the next year. And I actually played and won the Under-9 National Championship. But unfortunately, I didn't get the rolling trophy. The same year, they stopped giving the trophies, and I got a small shield, which I was very unhappy with.
Oh, no!
So I decided that I would win a World Championship trophy, and that will be more beautiful. And that's how my chess journey started.
Oh, wow. That is indeed a very interesting story. Wow. And then I guess like from that national tournament or national championship, you did improve super quickly, because already in the under-10s you played in the world championship for the girls, right? So the world youth championship.
Yeah. In 2000 I already played under-10 world championship. I was very close to the title. It's like on the last day, if I it's me and Tan Zonggi who were leading the tournament before the last round, and I had a better progressive, but I was too young and naive to understand. I was told that if I would win, I would get a gold medal for sure. And even if I lose, I would still get a silver medal. But the young me, I couldn't believe it. I was scared that I would lose my trophy if I lose the game. And in between the game, I agreed for a draw and got up from the board. I didn't even tell my coach or parents about it. I was very calm. I went, I said it was a draw. And then my coach was asking to show the game. And I wasn't even showing him. I was just trying to get out of the situation. That's how I, Tan Zonggi won the game, and she got the gold medal, and I won the silver medal. So that's how my world championship journey started.
I guess that was a good start, because it was still a really good result, and I guess like a learning lesson for all the championships you played after.
Yeah, it was a good learning lesson, how not to make mistakes, how not to be so stupid, and how to concentrate on winning gold medals. It was a very good start in general to learn many things, because I was very young and without experience. So always these kind of experiences make the player a better player. So somewhere I think all these moments helped me in a way to shape me up, especially when I was going through this. The next World Youth under 12 I played, I think, and then I got again another silver medal. Then the next year I got bronze medal. And it was going on without me winning the gold medal. I achieved everything else. I made WIM title. I was, 2300 player by then. By 13, I finished all my WGM norms. I think even women grandmaster title. Then even international master norms I made. But the only thing I couldn't crack was world youth title, because I was missing with some kind of pressure or like, you know, some kind of silly mistakes. So in 2004, I finally cracked. I understood what all mistakes I was doing, and I tried to change those. And finally, I won my first World Youth title in 2004 after playing the Olympiad even. I was 13 when I played my first Olympiad for India. And immediately after Olympiad, I went to the World Youth, and then I won the title, my first world title there.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit more, because you said you kind of understood what your mistakes were. So what was different in that 2004 championship?
As I told earlier, there were like silly mistakes as a young kid. Like the first one, I made a mistake to just be greedy for some trophy. And, you know, that if even silver is okay, but I wanted a trophy. Then next year, I think somewhere I made mistake in a crucial game. I won with some of the top seeds, but in the end, due to some kind of pressure, I didn't play well in a crucial game and I lost. So these kind of mistakes helped me to shape me up I understood where I'm going wrong, and like in a hard way I learned, and then slowly, step by step, I tried to rectify those mistakes. That's how it helped me in 2004. I made so many mistakes by then, like 2000 to 2003. I was winning silver, bronze and all. But always, so I was so close to gold and I couldn't win it. So finally, I understood what kind of mistakes I was doing, and I rectified them in 2004. Even in stressful situations, I understood how to handle them. So it got definitely better with experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very impressive. I mean, like, especially seeing like how close you were all the time and then finally making that step. Very cool. Maybe let's go, because you also said that in 2003, so you were just, I think, 12 or 13, you became a member of the Indian national team. So you were incredibly young. And how was it back then to become a team member? Do you still remember what it felt like, and what changed after, and how you played your first Olympiad?
I think it was really beautiful experience. I had my hardships also to be qualified. I remember I had chance to qualify for Indian team in 2001. In 2002, I think. Yeah, 2002 Olympiad. I played nationals. Back then, it wasn't about rating. It was about being in top 4 or 5. I don't remember clearly, but then I was winning hands down on the last day of National Women's Championship. If I would have won, I would have been like youngest member in Olympiad. I blended a rook. I blended a rook in a completely winning position out of stress. And I think that's where it made me realize that I have the capability, and I could have done it easier if I didn't think too much about the result. And then in 2004, it got easier for me. By then, I got a little bit of maturity on how to handle situations. And very easily, I got qualified for the Olympiad. And to be part of Indian team, that is the whole dream, right? You want to play for your country. So it will remain one of the special tournament for me, because it was my first Olympiad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe and I can...
And also I played a couple of tournaments before for the team. Like in 2003, I played Asian Championship already in the main team. And I had some experience by then, by Olympiad. But those were my initial tournaments as a team member. So I definitely learned a lot of things year by year with a lot of experiences and how to handle team situations.
I was about to say, because it's quite different to play in these team competitions, and then particularly if you represent your country, and there is like this, I guess, like this extra pressure if you play for a team, would I say?
No, definitely. When you play individual championship, it is only you who get affected. So you can forgive yourself if something goes wrong. But when you're playing for the team, you're responsible for your whole team members, their hard work and country. So many things are there. So definitely, I think for me, I would say it is much more pressure when I play team championship rather than individual. Yeah, definitely. It gives me additional pressure, but at the same time, it gives me additional responsibility to make less mistakes.
Yeah. And you also have some experience captaining the team, right? I think I saw somewhere online that you even sometimes take the captain duties.
Yeah, earlier it used to be like on top board, there would be captain. So there are many tournaments where I've led the team. And most of the tournaments I played, like be it World Team Championship, Asian Team Championship, Olympiads. So I played many, like right now, like countless tournaments. So I would say I had like a lot of experience. And somewhere when I had to take initiative, I could take because of the experience I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe let's stick with the Olympiad, because you said your first one was a very special one, but there was also one this year, which was, I assume, very special for you for various reasons. First of all, because it was taking place in your home country. And then secondly, because you participated in the last trimester of your pregnancy, actually. So that's quite special, both of that. And maybe we can like start with the run-up of the tournament and your preparation. So when did you decide that even though you're pregnant, you wanted to play that tournament and you could?
Yeah, this will be, I think, most memorable. I don't think I'll ever do. I'll get to do this again. So when it was announced that India is going to host the Olympiad, that's where I realized that maybe there is a possibility to play because I could travel. At least there is a possibility to travel. It was very close to my place. Mm-hmm. And then I was still not sure because it would be last trimester. But when I asked my doctor, she said it's not so difficult to play if you're healthy. And rather, it's even easier to play during pregnancy rather than immediately after delivery. Because I was even thinking to participate in Asian Games, which was supposed to happen in September. Mm-hmm. But luckily, that got postponed. So another adventure got paused, thankfully. But Olympiad, when my doctor said that you have a probability to play, if everything is okay with you, that's when I contacted my federation and I told them that I can play if it's okay, because it won't be so easy for everyone also. It will be a completely different situation. I need the additional all those arrangements, and also team members should it's like you might need more rest days rather than playing days. So there are so many things that could happen, but they believed in me and they said if I am ready to play, they would do everything, be it arrangements or everything. And that's where I got confidence that I could do it. It was immediately after the Olympiad got announced in India. So from there, I kept telling that I want to play. Right now, I was in back then I was in a condition to play, but you never know in pregnancy what could happen. So I was always telling that be ready for another player in case if something goes wrong in the last minute. And I didn't tell back then because it would maybe panic many people. I even played when I was 36th and 37th week of my pregnancy. So mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what would happen because sometimes you might have early delivery. Anything can go wrong. So I was just preparing silently for the Olympiad. I was preparing myself physically and mentally. But at the same time, I was ready if something goes wrong, I might not be able to play. So somewhere, I wasn't sure why I was working if I wouldn't play a tournament every day. During the most special phase, I was working every day, and I believed that somehow I'll make it to the tournament. So until the last minute where my doctor gave that you can play, gave a nod, you can go ahead and you can play, you're all fit. Until then, I wasn't sure. I was scared that if something goes wrong, if my medical condition gets worse in any way, then I wouldn't play. And then just last week before the Olympiad, I got confidence that I would make it. And then I booked my tickets. I confirmed with the federation that I can come to the tournament. And then until I really reached Chennai, I wasn't sure. Because it was totally different situation for me. I never experienced something like that. And I also knew knew some tournaments where people played in early trimesters or somewhere in the 5th, 6th month. I was aware of those situations. But I never heard of a story someone playing in the 9th month. So I was somewhere not sure how it would go. But I believed in myself and I believed in my decision that somehow things would work and somehow everything will go smoothly until the end of the tournament. So with this belief, I just managed to play in the tournament. So it was I think the Olympiad got announced somewhere in March, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. March or April, I don't remember exactly. So and from there to July 28th, the only thing I had in my mind was that I have to make it to Olympiad and I should play for the country and we should win a medal for the country, because it never happened before in a Women Olympiad. So I just lived those moments for all those months. And when I went to Olympiad, I thought it is a very normal decision. I felt it's very normal that because everything is being arranged, it's okay to play. It's very normal. But when people are giving were giving extra attention, I felt like maybe it's not so normal. Maybe it's a it's a not an unusual decision. That's why people are surprised with me playing there. So yeah, I think overall everything went well, and it would remain one of the most beautiful tournament. I'll have some stories to tell my daughter in future. So yeah, I'm glad that we did well, but unfortunately we could have done better. We could have won gold medal, but still I believe that there is some day for you that you would win the gold medal, and maybe this is not the time. So I just cherish all the moments we had in Olympiad, and that we won our first medal for the country.
Yeah, I think it's such an inspiring story also, like, for other women, because as you said, there's not many people that did something alike, and it just pushes the boundary a lot, and I think it's super inspirational. But maybe so, like, the preparation already sounds like so much willpower and like such an exciting time. And then during the tournament itself, like, how did you feel? Like, was it mentally very different, or like also physically? Because I mean, like, by that point you must have clearly like felt the effects, and was that something like, you know, you were so full of the adrenaline that like you just like it didn't matter so much, or was it just a very different experience in other tournaments?
Yeah, it's definitely much different experience than other tournaments. Especially I was trying to understand, like, when I was preparing, when I was training the earlier months before Olympiad, I was trying to figure out, because everyone told last trimester will be much different than the other months, and it will be much more difficult, and some people felt it's crazy that I'm actually going and playing a tournament, and some felt that maybe it's not needed. But I think mainly it was all about my willpower, and also my family never doubted my decision. They felt it's normal. If I decided to play, they were okay for me playing, and they were doing everything that they could. So somewhere I think the main reason is willpower. And during the tournament, of course, there were many differences that I felt. I was having less energy by the end of 3 hours or 4 hours of the game. I was feeling very tired. I think I missed a couple of winning positions during crucial matches because of less energy. And I tried my best over the board, off the board. Sometimes I used to remind myself, okay, I'm pregnant and I should take care of myself too. I think the difficulties and everything, being in India, it made it easier. They arranged everything, a separate washroom which was very near, where I didn't need to walk far away, and separate chair and table, and everything was arranged. So somewhere that motivated me also to go there every day and play, because they did so much. I just didn't want to sit there and do nothing. I wanted to be useful for the team. And though overall results might not look great personally, but I know that I did best when it's needed, and I was being more solid on the board too, which was also what we thought by the end of it, because I shouldn't strain too much also. And it was getting hard for me. I played 7 days continuously, which was definitely not what I expected. I thought maybe I would play crucial 4 to 5 games. I was even prepared like that. But then when I played 7 games, I think it gave me confidence also that I could do everything, anything.
Yeah, I saw that you played so many games in a row and then just sat out the first two, I think, and the last two. And I was wondering again, like, you know, usually these decisions are made with the team captain, but then, like, I guess, again, yours was a very special situation, and it took so much from you, but it's also so great that you had the support from the family and also this team spirit, and that somehow you managed to get this through. But in the end, like, how were the decisions made on whether you would play or not play or sit out? Was this something that was still discussed with the captain and the team for every round?
So it was new situation for all of us. They wanted me to play, but they weren't sure about my health condition. So I had to tell every day that I'm okay to play or I don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would doubt myself if I can play or not, because I thought my team was doing great and maybe I could spoil something because I wasn't winning some of the winning positions. As a player, that somewhere disappointed me that maybe without me, the team could do even better. So I self-doubted myself sometimes. But they believed that me being there would help the team, and that would give extra confidence for the team. So somewhere, I think I have stood up to the expectations of my team. So I'm happy for that. And the decisions were made mainly... this time at least, mainly about my health condition, if I'm okay to play or not. And sometimes mm-hmm. I would get very tired after the game and I would feel that I can't even move after the game and I wouldn't be able to play the next day. But then when team asked, I couldn't really give my health condition as a reason. And I thought like I would push myself and I'm okay to play. And then the next day I used to get up all fresh and fight for the game. So definitely it was, the decisions were taken regarding how I felt also and what team needs in the both ways. And the first two rounds, obviously, it's I think most expected that I wouldn't be playing. But the last two somewhere... I thought the team was doing really well, and I got little pains, and I felt those were actually false pains, but I felt a little scared because it was new experience for me. I thought if my name was given and something goes wrong suddenly, then the team would get affected. So we had to decide on in other way, and we were doing well until the last game. So last game was totally unexpected for us. So that's where we might doubt the decisions. But you know, it can happen anytime. Even me being part of the team on the last day, anything could happen. So sometimes we should just understand that we gave our best, and whatever supposed to happen, it happened. Maybe the other players played better that day, and we should just try the next time. But overall, this time decisions and everything, it was much different than a normal Olympiad condition.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. It's super interesting to hear. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that last round you talked about, because so basically how it worked was like that India was leading the table and it was the last round, and basically even a draw would have been fine to win the gold medal, and you were paired against the US. And yeah, it didn't go as planned. And I think that's a very difficult situation, because in the end, like, the team result that India had, like the bronze medal, was still absolutely amazing, right? Because like the women's team never won a medal. But then I guess like because the gold was so close, it's still a bit of a disappointment. And I was just, maybe tell us how you experienced the last round, and maybe also what the team felt like in that moment.
So basically, the penultimate round, we did extremely well. We won 3.5 with Kazakhstan. Somewhere that gave us like complete confidence that at least making 2 points wouldn't be a big problem. Though there were US is a very strong team, we believed that we were in a good form, and we didn't lose a single match until then. So the penultimate round, the same day, the doctor suggested me that I could be ready for labor anytime. That which mm-hmm. was shocking for me, and I felt very strange. And then I was told to go back immediately to my hometown. But then I believed in myself that, you know, I don't feel it. I feel like, you know, I'm supposed to be there on the podium. I would win the medal for sure. And I would go back with the medal. So I took that chance. I stayed back. But I couldn't play for the team because it could give additional risk to the team. If something goes wrong in between, maybe the midnight or something, and if I can't play the game, that would lose 1 point from the team. Mm-hmm. So we had to decide the other way also because it was very encouraging that we did extremely well with Kazakhstan in the penultimate round. And we believed that somehow at least 2 points would happen. But things happened very fast the last day. It was the timings got changed. We had very less time to prepare. Immediately after the penultimate round, we had to prepare, then go for that game. And like, you know, everything went so fast without even much expectations. Just everything fell apart on the last day. Until then, we did play with all the strongest teams there. And being the first seed, I think from day one, you would get the best possible teams. So somewhere I believed that we could easily pull off the last game because we have crossed so many hurdles. But unfortunately, things went really wrong for us the last day. So I believe that, you know, we were not destined to win gold medal. We did try our best. And things really went wrong. It took a lot of time for all of us to understand and accept it. But we all are players. We know how it works. Things can go wrong anytime. It might look unfair that last day things changed so dramatically for us, even after doing so well until the last round. But that's how sport is, and that's how things change anytime. And it was hard. It was really hard, but on the brighter side, we won the first medal for the country in India. When it happened in India, it could inspire more girls. And definitely that would be a lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm. Following up on that, because you won a medal, the first medal for the Indian women's team in India, and generally, what do you think this Olympiad was for India and the chess there, and how was it perceived in the country, and do you think it will kind of push more people or have a positive effect on chess in India?
Definitely. I think it never happened before on such large scale in India, and so many people started seeing it, a chess tournament. I think it was done beautifully. Normally in such huge tournaments, many people will have complaints, and I've been there, like, you know, you would have someone will be unhappy, someone will be happy. But I think I'm very proud that this is one tournament where there are very, very less maybe let's say bad reviews or something. Most of them were happy, all from all the countries, and I'm very happy and proud that my country could pull it off. At the same time, I think for chess lovers to be there to see, to witness what happens in a chess tournament and how exactly it works when you're playing for the country, I think it definitely will motivate more kids to take up chess and also to do well. This definitely will be a game changer moment for chess in India, I feel. So many people have seen us so closely. So they understand now, they get connected to chess players and how it works, and they would start following all the big tournaments. I think special thanks to All India Chess Federation and Tamil Nadu government. I think what Tamil Nadu government did, not many could do it, to do in such a short span. They just arranged every single thing. I asked one day one of the policemen that how come there are so many of you, because normally in Olympiads we don't see so much of security. He said they're coming to Tamil Nadu. We don't want anyone to go through any kind of bad experience, just to be on safer side. They had so many security policemen there for each and every hotels and like Olympiad venue and everywhere. So I think that's very sweet gesture and very honest organization to do their best for all the guests who came to Olympiad. I think definitely that kind of gesture touched all the players emotionally also. And I've heard all nice things about Chennai Olympiad. So yeah, I think it's one of the memorable tournament for Indians.
Yeah, I can only dabble from afar. So I was watching from home, and the reviews and how happy the players were and the hospitality. And it just seemed like such a special event and such a great organization. So I think, yeah, it was really special for people that went, and it was super well organized.
Yeah, I'm glad that for many people it could be the first visit to India, and I'm glad that they went back with beautiful memories. So that's what India is special for the hosting. And we say guests are like God. We have a saying in our culture. So I'm very glad and proud that our people pulled it off.
Yeah, and for you personally, let's maybe move away from the chess a little bit, because you ended up not going into labor during the tournament, but you gave birth to a beautiful daughter just maybe 2 weeks after the Olympiad ended. So congratulations on that. And yeah, I was wondering how you're easing into your new role as a mom and how you're finding it so far.
To be frank, actually, I was thinking so much about Olympiad. I thought I would do everything else after Olympiad. And before delivery, I would like arrange everything for the baby. So I didn't really think on that aspect until Olympiad got over. And once Olympiad got over, I got so exhausted. I didn't get much time to prepare myself and prepare for the baby, all the needful things. But luckily, my family is there who took care of everything. And after the delivery, I'm still figuring out. It's a new phase for me. It's definitely not as easy as I thought. Even with so many people around, I'm enjoying the new phase of life. I'm figuring out how to handle things. And I'm glad that Asian Games got postponed. I realized how hard it would have been to participate after delivery. Right now I'm just taking a pause and enjoying my new phase and trying to be a good mom to my baby as much as I could or I can. So yeah, I have to see how things will go in future.
Sounds like you're doing really well at the moment. One question I had is, your baby is called Hanvika, and I wondered whether the name has a meaning.
Yeah, Hanvika, also mainly because it is half part of my name and my husband's name, Harika and Karthik. And the meaning of the name is God, one of the goddess, Indian goddess, and also it means gold, and there are several meanings in for it. So I found it nice. Also, my mother's name is somewhere similar as a gold, so I thought it is matching in every aspect. So we decided to name her Hanvika.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful name. Yeah.
At least it's very similar to my name.
That's also true. I was thinking that when I read it, but I didn't know that it's because you literally take the parts of your name and your husband's name.
Yeah, we took it, and my father, he felt it's hard because they're so used to Harika, and like, you know, now to change like Hanvika, they felt it could be difficult to pronounce and all. But we decided that we felt this is the name, and we said like, you know, you'll get used to it slowly. Let's get used to it. And we named her Hanvika.
Yeah, I'm sure they will manage. If you manage to play an Olympiad in your final trimester, I'm sure everyone else will like manage to pronounce your daughter's name correctly.
Yeah, I think that would be an adventure for me to remember the Olympiad.
Yeah, and something like, you know, I think it's like something you can, as you said, tell your daughter one day, and it's something she and you both can be proud of, and it's a great start into life.
Yeah, I believed when people said that it could be stressful for the baby, it's not good for your health. There are people who criticize it. But I believed that if I'm strong, if I'm doing what I like, what I'm supposed to do, I think definitely that shouldn't affect the baby so much. I felt the happiness I would get by playing, definitely the baby also would feel it, and I believed in it, and I'm glad that everything happened smoothly. And when I received the medal, and the medal was placed, and it was on my tummy, I felt like so special. I had tears in my eyes that yes, I managed to do it. And after all these months, me and my baby both got a medal. I think that's a very beautiful story to tell her when she grows up.
Yeah. She's already destined to be like a super strong, you know, woman growing up.
Yeah, at least she would remember the story or something to share for her in future.
Yeah. And maybe we can follow up also on what the plans are now, because you already started talking about tournaments in the future. So what, it seems like you've already given it a lot of thought, and I was wondering what your idea is on combining chess and parenthood, and how you want to go ahead the next few, I guess, like years.
Definitely chess has been always my life since childhood. I can't think the other way. As I said, I felt playing in pregnancy or any situation is very normal. That's what I felt. And even now, my whole idea would be to come back to chess as early as I can, and at the same time, be a good mother to take care of my baby. Luckily, I have a family who are very close nearby, and who can take care of the baby even better than me. So I don't need to worry about traveling. But for now, I've taken a pause for 2 to 3 months. I'm hoping to come back soon. Maybe I would play Tata Steel Rapid and Blitz Women's Tournament World Rapid and Blitz. And the next year will be very crucial, because there are many important tournaments lined up, like Women Grand Prix, Grand Swiss, Asian Games. So there are many important tournaments next year. So I need to figure out and find myself to get some time, and like also get time to work on chess and get back as soon as I can.
So still loads of ambitions. Maybe it's a good opportunity to jump actually to the Women Grand Prix and also the World Championships, because that's something where you also had, you've never managed to get a World Championship title, but you also won the bronze medal a few times there. So it seems like you still have ambitions to trial again, and that like just having a baby is just like not stopping you from that goal.
Definitely. I'm a person who believe that until you don't give up, you really didn't lose anything. You keep trying, and one day I believe that things will happen. Maybe for some people it could be early, for some people it could be late, but definitely it will happen if you have the goal in your mind. Yes, things would change after becoming a mother. Maybe priorities would divide in many things, but definitely I would like to inspire my daughter when she grows up. I would like her to learn from my experiences also. So I would definitely be as equally ambitious as before, to not give up on my goals and ambitions, which also can be a lesson for my daughter when she learns that how not to give up and how to keep trying. I would say yes, I would want to win the World Championship one day. I don't know when, but I'll definitely keep trying.
How do you prepare for such a tournament, or how do you push for such a goal? Because there's so many facets. Of course, there's like the chess preparation you have to do for these tournaments. But for example, if you've played a tournament like that and you got kicked out several times in the knockout system in like, I don't know, the semi-final or the quarter-final, I guess that has a lot to do with like psychology and nerves. Is there a special way you prepare for this, or that you think you can even prepare for this?
Yeah, I think psychology plays a large part of any tournament in general, especially in knockouts. Chess-wise, everyone have their routine. But mentally, I think for knockouts, you have to be really, really rigid not to get out of the event. At least that's what it used to be for me in knockouts when I played. Many people would already know how in a very hard way I lost my semi-final matches every time. In 2012, when I first entered the semi-finals, I was already exhausted back then, and I was okay with any result, and somewhere immediately I lost the game with that attitude, and then I realized it's a wrong way. Like, even if you're exhausted, even if you have to, when you're near to your goal, you can't give up and you have to keep trying. And the next time, in 2015, I again went to semi-finals. I think it's not easy to go into semi-finals back to back. At least that's something I would be proud of, because knockouts are such a way that, you know, it can happen one day, something goes wrong and you will just be out of it. But I have been always rigid enough to be there to win the title. I have always believed that I could do it. And in knockouts, that kind of mental rigidness helped me in many of the knockout events. But there was no special preparation for it. I think it just happens spontaneously during the tournament. And when things go well, you just feel like you will do well. And things work perfectly. And sometimes you feel like something is wrong and, you know, some negative feelings, and then actual things will start going worse. So it's all about your mental stability also, other than just chess and game. But yeah, for knockouts, you really need that extra rigidness that you don't want to get out of the tournament and you have to do well there. So there were many moments for me in 2015. I played my semi-finals against Maria, and I was so close to winning in a couple of games, and I kept making mistakes. And I think one of the game which I would always remember is I didn't win a game with three pawns up in queen ending, and then I lost. I gave up. I gave up. I felt like it's high time. I think it's too much that I didn't win that game. And then the next game, because of my mentally, I gave up. I immediately collapsed. But in 2017, again, something similar happened. And I was very close to winning the semi-finals. And then I messed up in the second rapid game. I was so close to make a draw. And I lost that game. But then I didn't give up. I just kept fighting. I understood that it's very normal that things go wrong, but you have to keep trying. And then I remember one of the game where I lost a queen. And I had like two pieces, but the only chance to remain in the match was to win that game. I believed that I can't get out of the tournament. I have to go through finals, and I kept trying and trying, and I won with queen down. So it's always about psychology also, not just a game. But then finally I lost in the Armageddon match in a clearly winning position again. But I believe that these kind of experiences will help you to become a better player, to solve the situations when you face next time. And I believe that until you don't give up, you are there fighting for the title.
Yeah, it's a lot of mental willpower. Do you have any rituals, like specific rituals, how to deal with, like, for example, you have a bad game and the next round is the next day? Do you have anything particular that you feel works for you to kind of get your head off that game and be prepared again the next day?
When everything goes well, actually your rituals work perfectly. You go through all the timetable that you have to do this, and like you will do everything well. But when things go wrong for me, I just break my routine. I try to just get out of the result and, you know, start fresh for the tournament. So that I never had any kind of ritual when I lose a game. first I try not to, and secondly, mm-hmm. when it happens, I just try to start fresh in the tournament and to again fight back.
Dear chess friends, here is Michael, the editor of this podcast series. I'm very happy to be part of this collaboration for the benefit of the Year of Women in Chess. My German chess podcast Schachgeflüster is now sponsored by Aim Chess. Therefore, I would like to draw your attention to this great tool. On Aim Chess, you can enter your LeeChess, your chess.com, and your chess24 usernames. Aim Chess analyzes your online games for you. For example, they evaluate which openings you are successful with and how good your time management is. There are also valuable learning tools. You can, for example, practice positions where you blundered in the game, and you even get a personalized training plan. Just try out the whole thing for free, and if you want the full range of functions, then feel free to use the code SCHACH30 to get a 30% discount for the first month of your premium account.
Yeah, one other tournament I'd like to discuss with you is when you won the title for the World Women's Online Blitz Championships in 2015. Because nowadays, I guess these online tournaments started booming and they became so big during Corona. But in 2015, they were still quite rare. And I actually think it was the first sport online event ever recognized by the Olympic Committee. And I wanted to ask whether you can tell us a little bit about that tournament and how it went for you. And maybe also a little bit about what the format was.
Yeah, I think not many people would know. Back then, social media was not so much and not many people knew about this result. I was the first world online Blitz champion. But after that, the tournament got stopped. So I still remain world online women Blitz champion. Back then, actually, there were no cameras, not so much during the qualification. It was like in qualification, you just play on your name and without too much of security. But then finals happened in Italy, Rome. I remember because that is one of the most special tournament for me. Everything worked out perfectly. So I got qualified for the finals. And I think, I don't remember, maybe 10 of us or someone, we played the finals in Italy. And we were all set up in a hall playing in the computer. It was a different experience. I think it was very encouraging to that you get to play finals in a beautiful country. You're getting chance and you're just enjoying the tournament. Then finally, we just saw the standings, and I saw the standings at the end, and I was crowned as a world online women Blitz champion. And I enjoyed every phase of it. But now, because of COVID, I think things are more serious about online. And actually, I can say I enjoyed, like, even during my pregnancy phase, I think, though I didn't play many tournaments, that's where I could enjoy playing chess. And I think now playing online has become a very normal routine. So in between the tournaments, now you have additional opportunities to play online and to be in touch with chess in many ways and to also earn good money. So I'm glad that things have changed this way. For the players, it's, I think, a very good opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because it gives like a different, I mean, it's very debatable, right? Some people very much don't like it, but I personally think there's so different time formats than the classical chess. And there's also, I guess, like less financial hurdles for participants and less commitment for players, for example, to travel at the beginning. And it just seems like a good additional offer that there is. But of course, like we now heard, it was interesting to hear that you said back then in 2015, there were not so many security measures in place? Because I guess one thing that we do see with online chess is that cheating is a big problem, and it takes away a lot of people's joy. But you still seem to play nowadays and feel happy with the online. And what is your opinion about these safety measures on these online tournaments? And I guess, like, generally still that cheating is a bigger problem there.
Yeah, as you said, I honestly prefer over the board chess. I don't like much online chess because I feel it's additional burden to eyes and also to brain. So I definitely don't like it too much. But I am happy that we are getting additional opportunities to play from home, to play such strong tournaments other than our regular tournaments. So I am happy that chess players are getting this opportunity. But cheating can be anywhere, but I believe that in most of the major tournaments, with all the cameras on, with all the security measures, I at least doubt that anyone would dare to do cheating. But yeah, if without security measures, there could be people who might cheat, or who you can't stop them really, like if someone decides to do. So there is a certain problem with the cheating, but with all the major tournaments having so many additional security measures these days, I doubt we need to worry about cheating in major online tournaments these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One other topic I'd like to discuss is I actually read an old interview of you, and it asked of the highlights of your chess career. And very interestingly to me, two of them were not actual tournaments, but you said it was the Arjuna Award and the Padma Shri Award. And so I wanted to ask, what are these awards, and what do they mean to you?
So these are the awards given in India. Especially Arjuna Award is like for the sports award, one of the highest honored award, and then Padma Shri Award is like highest civilian award, one of the highest civilian awards. So these are special because chess is not a spectator sport, right? Not many people could watch it, at least in the beginning. Now it got much mm-hmm. easier. So they never knew like what exactly is happening. You know, you would just go there, play tournaments, come back, and like, you know what is happening because you know the nitty-gritties of chess players' life and like the tournaments. But not many people would know. So it's very important when you get this kind of recognition, many people will understand what exactly you're doing. You're not just like traveling, going somewhere and coming back. And you can't win every major tournament once you reach certain level. So definitely these kind of awards encourage us that whatever we are doing, we are giving up on normal social life. We are 24 hours being dedicated for our sport. And these kind of awards will definitely encourage us to do even better for the country. And like that, it's kind of encouragement. But at the same time, it is also an award which maybe people who don't follow chess or follow sport also can understand in what level we are in our sport. So it's kind of honor which encourages more and more. And like to get this kind of honor in your country, it feels special. So that's why I always say those are some of my milestones in my career.
Yeah, is chess being seen in broader society and very much, I guess, like a nice emotional gesture that's it's appreciated by the country?
Yeah, definitely, because you can't, like, you know, there are times when people would ask, so are you a state level player or a national level player? Because they're not interested into chess or sport, so they don't know what exactly is happening. But when they see you as an awardee of Padma Shri or Arjuna, they understand that, okay, maybe I don't know what they are, but maybe they are in international level playing chess or somewhere. So that also helps to answer those questions. Yeah, that I am in certain level and I'm not a state level player, but I'm an international player. So for a common man to get connected, it gets easier when they see you getting these awards. Yeah. And yeah, it's an honor from the country, which will encourage us to do more and more for the country, to win more and more medals for the country in future. So it always, like, you know, when you have like many years of hard work, you're going on and on and on. And when you get these kind of awards, you won't feel tired. You feel like you get fresh energy to start all over again and, you know, to do more and more. I think this kind of appreciation is definitely for any human being, any person, I think would be helpful to do in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, we're closing to the end of our time. I have a few more a bit random questions, I guess, to finish off. So one of them is, I read also in a previous interview that one of the things you always put in your suitcase to go to tournaments, or at least did back then, is your rice cooker. Is that still true?
Yeah, it's true. But right now, with Indian restaurants all over the places in near to the tournament, it's not as much as before. But earlier, definitely, I used to cook for myself. And even when my grandmother or mother accompanied, they used to cook for me. Because for me, it was always like eating so many days outside food was not my thing. So mm-hmm. I used to carry a rice cooker with me and cook for myself some Indian food, and used to enjoy that after the game. I used to enjoy cooking and, like, you know, eating some food I love. And yeah, that used to be my very normal routine before. But now with so much developed and so many restaurants nearby in every place, okay, I got a little lazier than before, I would say. And I don't cook so much nowadays during tournaments. But yeah, earlier it used to be one of my major routine in a chess tournament.
Oh, that is indeed quite special. I never heard that. But yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah, so two closing questions maybe. So this podcast is part of the FIDE Year of Women in Chess. And I wanted to see if you have any other ideas on events or whatever ideas in which you think FIDE could support women in chess more.
I think it's getting much better and better year after year. From the time I started women's chess, it developed in a much larger scale. Right now, the prize fund is getting bigger and better than before. There are more and more tournament opportunities for women players. Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's very positive sign that things are going well in women's chess. But yeah, always there will be a scope of doing even bigger. I don't know, like right now I can't think of any suggestions. But yeah, I mean, I would say if they can increase the prize fund equally to win, it will be even better. It's not a complaint. I understand that, you know, things will move slowly. But like some of the sports, if they can do it, it will be even better in future. But yeah, like I'm happy with the way things are developing in women's chess. And I believe that things will get even better in future for next generation. So suggestions, like to have specific suggestions, right now I can't think of any. But yeah, I'm happy with the way things are developing.
Mm-hmm. One follow-up question, maybe now that your situation changed a little bit and you have a baby. One thing we discussed in this podcast before is whether there should be any offers by tournaments or organizers, for example, for childcare or making tournaments a bit more family-friendly. Do you have any opinions on this? Do you think this should be something that FIDE or tournaments should do, or is this something that people should figure out themselves or with their family or organize somehow differently?
That would be lovely, actually. There is, yeah, this reminds me of one thing that because the tournaments are really long, the classical tournaments, I think it gets a little harder when you have to be away for like 12 to 15 days. Definitely, it makes big difference. But it is easier when you are playing like World Rapid and Blitz or like small tournaments. It makes it much easier. And at the same time, yeah, it would be lovely if they can have special arrangements. Like, let's say I felt very good like when I got special arrangements during my pregnancy time. And I think if the same can be done for even like kids, it will be also good for women. But at the same time, you don't know, like, how, it's not easy. Like, it could be like one or two people with the kids, and if they want to travel with the kids, and then to arrange special arrangements. But if possible, if they can do it, it would be really lovely and helpful for some of the women players who would like to travel with the kids. But yeah, I mean, it depends individually. If they're traveling with the kids, if they want to figure out for themselves, if they want the organization to do. But there is, I don't think there is something to be complained about, you know, not having special care, because it's not easy when you're taking a responsibility of another child, of a player's child. It will be, it can be even harder for the organization. So yeah, I mean, it will be nice if they can, but if they don't also, it should be fine. I think players can figure out us, like, it shouldn't be a very big deal.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much on your opinion on that. We are unfortunately already at the end of our time. It was absolutely lovely to have you as a guest on our podcast. And all the best in the upcoming few months and, like, easing into the being a mom. And of course, also good luck with your upcoming tournaments once you start playing again.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to share my experiences too. Thank you.
Von ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat. Ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit. Und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu ihrem Toyota-Partner.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.